This episode of the Bamboo Pastors Podcast has been brought to you by Resource Global. Resource Global is an organization whose mission is to teach, mentor, and connect emerging Christian marketplace leaders around the world so that they can renew their workplaces and cities for the gospel. From Jakarta to Singapore, from Nairobi to Johannesburg, and from Austin to cities worldwide, Resource Global is bringing these leaders together to learn from like-minded leaders in their own cities, as well as leaders from around the globe. To find out more about the work of Resource Global, please visit resourceglobal.org.
Welcome to the Bamboo Pastors Podcast, a podcast that explores the joys and challenges of being an English-speaking pastor in a Chinese church. I'm Jalen Chan, and I'm here with my co-host, John Mon.
Hey, everyone.
Together, we host the Bamboo Pastors Podcast. We're glad that you're here with us. Come on in and have a seat at the table.
All right. Welcome back to the Bamboo Pastors Podcast. I am on here with my good friend and co-host, Jalen. Jalen, it's good to see you and hang out with you. I'm glad that we are a full week past the controversy of whether or not we were going to be doing this podcast still. I had further conversations with people about how, you know, they thought they did not realize it was an April Fool's joke, you know, a month ago when we did that Bamboozled Pastors Podcast. So I'm glad that we've cleared that up and we're back recording regular rhythm, at least for a few more weeks before we hit summer. But how have you been? What have you been up to?
Yeah, things have been going okay on the home front. Our oldest is finishing eighth grade, so he's choosing some high school classes now. We're kind of going through that with him, and that's been a fun process. And, you know, just a good conversation about what he wants to do, what we want him to do, how we want him to approach, you know, this kind of next season of school and stuff like that. So that's really fun. And I think that's been a good family sort of, you know, exercise to do together. And yeah, otherwise we're just trying to wrap up this school year and get through it. You know, basically from the end of spring break until the end of the school year, there are no days off, like no extra days off, just the weekends. And so it's like 6 or 7 weeks of just straight school, which is challenging. But anyways, we're excited about that. Ministry wise, I feel like the last few weeks have been, things have gone well for the most part, but there's just been like this underlying like conflict that some of us have had with one of the elders in our Chinese congregation. And so that's been difficult. And, you know, I think by God's grace, we're working through that and growing from it. But, you know, it's, you know, when conflicts happen, I think it's challenging. It's always, you know, exhausting on several levels. And so, some good things in ministry as well. You know, our small groups have been going through a series where everybody's been sharing their testimonies. And so it's been really good to have people who are newer to our church share their testimony and hear their stories. It's been really good to hear people who've been our church forever, you know, share some things that, you know, other people had not heard before, or, you know, we just, you know, good to hear that story again. And so, we're excited to have some of those things, but you know, with ministry, it's just kind of like there's good and there's bad and there's, you know, ups and downs. So
yeah,
I feel like we're just kind of plugging away right now. So yeah. How about you? Good to see you.
Yeah, I'm doing well. You know, last time we recorded, we had Melody on and she talked about visiting college students, and I was challenged in that recording that I should go make a stop at UC Davis on my way back from Sacramento. So that was over the weekend. And, you know, the conference I spoke at, I felt like it went well. I had a good time engaging with a bunch of youth workers, youth volunteers, like student leaders on youth ministry, and was able to share about, you know, being resilient in ministry. And and then on my way home from that, I swung by campus to see if any of the college students from my church were available for dinner, and a few of them were. And so they, one of them gave me a tour of campus, and we went out to grab dinner, and it was really fun, actually. I have forgotten how much some of these college campuses all look very, very similar. Because the moment I drove onto UC Davis campus, I was like, whoa, it feels like I'm in, you know, Champaign, or I was in West Lafayette earlier or last year, speaking for a retreat. And I was like, man, all these campuses kind of look similar. There's just buildings randomly spread out all over the place and nice big open areas to walk around. And the roads have no rhyme or reason. But yeah, I enjoyed my time there. In particular, I discovered that UC Davis has this thing where they have these sculptures that are, they have, okay, they're shaped like eggs, like a giant egg.
Okay.
And then the egg has like a human face on it, and then it's doing something. So like the face could be like looking up at the sky, or like face down in a text, like in a textbook. And depending on where it is on campus, it's like a different sculpture. So like the library one is a face down egg head in a book. And I just thought that was so fascinating. And the college student who was giving me the tour, he had no idea like why they were there. He just said, this is our thing. So
interesting.
UC
Davis, he didn't explain it at all.
Awesome.
Like he didn't describe like why they have those.
I don't know if he fully knew.
If he knows.
He just, that's their thing. They have, okay. Or they have them. So
yeah.
I saw a couple of them. It was very interesting. Yeah. But it was a good trip. Fun to go up there. And I think I'm going to try to do that more often, especially because that campus is pretty close, about an hour and 45 minutes away. So,
yeah. I mean, I literally had the same inspiration, and I looked up like how far, you know, we have a few students at the University of Illinois at Urbana-Champaign. We have one at University of Iowa. And so I was like mapping out, like, how long would it take if I tried to do a day trip?
Yeah.
But that's, yeah. So I have, I think like 3 weeks until their finals. So I don't know if it'll happen, but I was inspired as well.
I'm actually supposed to drive back through Sacramento next week for a conference, for our district conference. So I'm like, oh, maybe we should swing by again. Yeah, you know, why not? It was fun. So, yeah, but ministry's going well. It's been pretty busy over here. And I think sometimes, you know, I feel like pastors, that's our default. We just say, like, things are busy. We're just, like, in the kind of the full rolling, like ministry's just rolling on and it doesn't stop. And that is how it feels sometimes. But I do feel like I've been in a extra busy season right now. And so I am looking forward to when that in theory is supposed to slow down just a little bit, but I'm not quite there yet. It'll be soon. But what has been good for me is that on our, you know, on my day off, Mondays, I've been really intentional about like just taking a break because it has been such a busy season. And in those breaks, our good friend Pearson, he and I have been riding, bike riding like pretty regularly. And
nice.
Yeah, we went again this past Monday and had a good time. And I think those conversations, I realize they're not really about the exercise, because I mean, like, it is exercise, but it's more about like just kind of the laughs and hanging out together and having, you know, basically have an excuse to go like eat lunch right away afterwards and then not feeling so guilty about eating lunch. So,
sure.
Yeah. But it's been good. I think that's been sustaining me through the busy season, quote unquote. But yeah, I'm excited for our episode tonight. I think since we're kind of, or I shared briefly about being at a youth ministry training conference, and our guest tonight is a youth pastor who we met also in Houston. I think if you've been listening at all this season, that has been the trend. Like three out of four guests on this podcast have been people we met when we were in Houston at the Chinese Heritage Church collective. Yes, that was the gathering. And so we have on with us Tim Lowe. Tim is the youth pastor at Chinese Bible Church of San Diego. And Tim, we're just excited to have you on the podcast. The last we saw each other in person, we were digging into a delicious meal of crawfish in Houston, like Viet Cajun crawfish. And then I think we immediately got on the plane, and that was delicious. And I had no regrets on that airplane whatsoever. So
that was an intense meal. That was very culturally appropriate.
There. Yes. Yeah. For sure.
That was also my, as we were kind of like planning out, oh, let's have Tim on the episode, on the show. And I was like, yeah, I immediately thought of the crawfish that we had together. So
I feel like Tim, did you give us the little demonstration of how to properly eat crawfish? Was that you, or was that, did Ben Pun do that?
I don't remember who it was. I don't think it was me. I'm originally from Boston, so I'm more. Okay. The lobster eater, right?
Got it.
I can show you how to eat a lobster.
Okay. Yeah. Well, Tim, thanks for jumping on with us today. We always start the interview with the same question. Just briefly share your ministry journey and calling with us. We want to hear about just how God has brought you through and to ministry, what that calling was, and how you got to where you are now.
Sure. Yeah. Well, just said, like, I'm originally from Boston, so I grew up at a Chinese church there and in the suburbs of Boston, and it was really impactful for me. The community, the mentors, the youth pastor, I guess Chinese and English pastors there. It was just. Yeah, and it just shaped so much of who I am and who I was, thinking about what it means to be an American-born Chinese Christian. And when I went to college and into seminary, I think that's one of the, I think I realized how much that had shaped me and began to see a lot of the need in Chinese churches for people to minister to people like me when I was young. And not that people that are not American-born Chinese Christians can't do some of that ministry, but I realized that I was, I had a head start in understanding the context and the cultures and the challenges of what that meant. And so, that's kind of how it began. It just out of that burden, out of that recognizing that need, and just started serving at church and at a Chinese church in the Chicago area, actually at CCFC, and then later at the EFC church. That I never kind of had this voice from God or, just kind of clear sense of calling in that way, the way some people do. I think a lot of it was just a burden for that and a sense of trying to meet the need of all the many Chinese churches and that need youth ministers.
Yeah, I love hearing that. And just I think as we've gotten to know each other, both at that conference, but also more recently, because we've been working together on this regional partnership for Render West Coast, which, listeners, if you haven't thought about signing up for that yet or don't know about it, go check out our episode on that. But it's a conference that helps those who are like all three of us. At one point, the Lord called us into ministry and helps. It'll be a conference for people who are thinking about it and really exploring what is God leading you into. Tim, one of the things that I would be curious to hear a little bit about is, because you've been in youth ministry for several years now, I'll let you decide if you want to tell people how many years it's been. I just spoke at that conference and the topic was resilience. Like, how do you continue to serve when things are hard or for long seasons, like to really be faithful and obedient to the call that God has given you? So I'm curious, because it's been on my mind, for the sake of those who I was sharing with, like, what are some of the things that have kept you sustained or resilient in youth ministry for this length of time?
So I started as a youth pastor in 2002, and I've definitely had some really great seasons and some really difficult times. Even at one point, basically tried to leave ministry, and but God led me back through that. And I think, as far as resilience, as far, I think it's about, for me, I think it's just listening to what God is calling you to do. And like I said, I have had some pretty tough times in ministry where, I mean, I remember there's one season where I was writing out my resignation about once a month
Wow.
for over a year. And went through the kind of draft of it, and another season where I was in essence let go from a church. And it just there's listening to God's calling, listening to where God wants you to be and how he's leading, I think has been part of a big part of my journey and part of learning what it means to be faithful in ministry. I'm not sure. I don't think of that as re resilience. Like I don't think of that as being toughing out, that kind of sense of resilience. I think of it as just surviving, just like surviving at the bottom, like a cockroach. I love teenagers. Like when I'm in public, I see teenagers that are not Asian and they're not, Christian, not that I don't know. I am excited about their potential. Like I look at them, I don't look at teenagers as problems. I look at them as just excitement, potential, energy, dynamic, fun. And I think for me in youth ministry, that has always been something that has helped me to stay in youth ministry, as opposed to going into adult ministry. But I've never really thought of it as like I'm going to stick with it, like it like tough it out kind of thing. It's just naturally like it. I do think that over the years, I've had to reassess kind of my strategy and way of doing ministry as I've gotten older. I think of it many times as kind of like doing missions work, right? If you are doing a cross-cultural thing, you assume that you have to learn about the culture and you have to be you're become new to it and you're an ex become an expert in it. Because I think of youth ministry like that, I think it's been easier for me to do lo youth ministry for longer than I think some people who may not want to spend all that work to do that, or may just not like that, may not like to do that cross-cultural work.
I really like that idea of contextualization, right? Like looking at youth ministry as an opportunity to learn a culture and figure out how to bring the gospel to that culture. I think that's awesome. And I Man, as you were sharing about your seeing the potential when you see youth, like that was so inspiring. I was just very impressed by that sense of passion that you have for youth ministry. I think that's so commendable, and I really appreciate that. Earlier, you were saying that there was a season in which, like, for almost a year, you were writing your resignation, and I don't know that. I think all of us have had difficult times, but that just seems really extreme. But I want to kind of flip it to the opposite end. What are some of the, for being in ministry, in youth ministry for over 20 years, what's like a ministry highlight? What's a ministry win that you could share with us?
Yeah, I think generally speaking, I think the part that I love about youth ministry that I guess I've never really thought that I would see in adult ministry if I ever were to do that is that kids just change and grow so much, So like every single year, and not to mention every 2, 3 years, you just see, these middle schoolers become high schoolers, these high schoolers grow up, they see the light bulb turn on. It's like, wow, the gospel is real. It impacts my life. It makes a difference. Like all these like things, I feel like you just don't see that as much in adult ministry or in children's ministry. But in youth ministry, you see that all the time. You see that every year, right? I think One of the highlights out of everything, though, more specifically, would be just coming out of COVID. And coming out of COVID, I think my church gave me the flexibility and the ability and the finances to be very successful coming out of COVID. And we had a great, I think it was the fall of 2021. Or spring of 2021, beginning of summer, when we first started meeting back in person, we just had kids, and we not only brought everyone back, but we had newcomers come, and we had engaged high level of engagement and connection and stuff like that, and yeah, and it was really through, I mean, even the idea of us of the youth meeting first at our church, regathering first out of all the congregation campuses, that was led by the pastoral staff and my senior pastor, and then obviously the facility. I mean, being in California, we were able to meet outside, which made people feel more comfortable. And the finances, being able to buy individually wrapped snacks to hand out and stuff like that, made people feel more, say. But we, because yeah, that was just because I was so afraid of that people, like, nobody was going to come. Nobody's going to show. So that was one of the highlights of that. When I think back over these years, I was so grateful for the way my church supported the minute youth ministry, and then just how God was able to lead people back into fellowship together.
Yeah, I'm curious, like, over that season specifically, whether it was like the transition from online youth group or ministry online because of COVID to kind of the aftermath of that. What were some of the what were some of the shifts besides the logistical ones or the financial changes of having to, like, like you're saying, like getting different snacks? Were there any shifts to the way that you approach students? Because I think when I think about young people, like, COVID is kind of a defining marker for this generation, the way, like 9/11 was a defining marker for my generation, because that happened when I was in high school. And I feel like there's a pretty noticeable difference in students who kind of came of age way before that, during, and then even like now after. And so I'm just curious, like, how has that shifted, and have there been other shifts over the last 20 plus years that have been pretty significant shifts in approach for you when it comes to youth ministry?
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely been huge shifts. I think there are some probably incriminating pictures of me in the late 90s in Illinois that I could get sued for if they came out today. There's kind of a Gen X boomer kind of way of rules and push-ups and things, wall sits and things like that, of approaching the faith and church and discipline and stuff like yeah. And then the millennial generation definitely was, most of my time has been working with the kind of the older millennial and younger, and then young now then younger millennial. Was definitely, we didn't do those things. We were not as, I guess, just maybe not as tough, I guess, on kids. And so we had learned to be a lot more sensitive and learned to be more just welcoming, the seeker friendly kind of, that kind of thing. And I think, yeah, I mean, COVID, I'm just surprised that they still call it Generation Z, because I would have thought they'd be Generation C for COVID, because I think it is that impactful. I think that the, especially when it comes to technology and their social media and the attention span, how they approach entertainment, all of that was on a trajectory of change before COVID, but it was accelerated, I don't know, twice as fast or three times as fast through COVID. And when the kids came out of that, I mean, the standards were completely different. And so, yeah, everything from the amount of time that we spend communicating stuff, how we communicate it, how we, and yeah, how we engage with people online, what we can expect their attention span to be when kids are watching these YouTube shorts or scrolling through Snapchat or TikTok or stuff like that at lightning fast speed. And then if we expect them to sit there for 30 minutes or 20 minutes even, or not to mention 40 minutes, 50 minutes, you either have to tell them this is something completely different, and so you have to learn a new rhythm for that, or you have to adapt that into something that is more, that moves faster and keeps people's attention differently. I personally have done probably more of the first. Like this past Sunday, I probably spoke 40 minutes, and that's very typical for me to speak 40 minutes. But we have also changed our youth. We have a separate youth worship that's separate than the English adults and the Chinese adults, and we've changed it to really be bare bones. And so it's really just we sing a few songs, I speak, and then we actually have small group time because kids are. Coming out of COVID, one of the things that we realized is the most important thing that kids are looking for, and maybe not just kids, but everyone in a church is not necessarily the worship or the message, but connection with other people and fellowship, right? And so that's why every single Sunday we have small groups during our worship service, and we've eliminated everything. We've eliminated announcements, offering, prayer time, welcoming, like everything except for to sing a few songs, a message, and then small group discuss, because we want kids to connect. Now, will we keep it that way forever? I don't know. But I mean, coming out of COVID, that was our rhythm, that has been our rhythm up until at least now. And I think that, I think the other big thing that that comes to mind is mental health, right? The awareness of mental health, and then the experience of going through COVID, just it brought to light that whether you're stressed, anxious, or depressed, or a combination of them, you really are because you went through something so traumatic. At least the adults told you it was traumatic. I mean, I think as adults, we have to take responsibility that we scared the daylights out of these kids for a long time, for a year. The met that mental health issue and the economy and health issues, COVID, so it's very different. This Generation Z is different than millennials already, but it was, I think, accelerated by COVID.
Yeah. Can I just a question going back to something you just said, which I thought was really fascinating, was that there's kind of two approaches, right, in addressing how as Gen Z has shifted in the way that they consume media, the way that they interact with the world. You can either shorten your messages to kind of match that, or you teach them to relearn like this is a different category. And it trains them to kind of like approach it. And you went with that, the latter of those two methods. I'm curious, like, was that difficult to implement or even to like, like with your volunteers or with other leaders or with the students themselves, was that hard to kind of encourage? Because I actually feel like lately, all I've been hearing when it comes to like ministry is like we have to adjust to match what they're used to. We have to constantly like we got to shorten messages to like 15 minutes long, or we have to do this to kind of like keep up with the way they're changing. But I very rarely heard someone say this is an opportunity to kind of teach them a different way than what and I don't know if it's as drastic as like, oh, this is completely different, but I kind of like that idea of rewiring it. So I'm just curious, like, yeah.
I mean, I would say that it is a lot of work to read to develop something new in this regard. But I think that it's within the context of being sensitive to their culture. So I'm not when I speak, so I actually speak now longer than ever in my 20 plus years. Like regularly, I'm up there for 40 minutes. But when I'm up there for 40 minutes, it's very conversational. So it's not, I'm not going through all the, exegesis like I would with it. Actually, when I speak to adults, whenever the adult congregation asks me to speak, I am so stressed out. It takes me 3 to 4 times as long as to prepare them for the youth. And I'm still just worried at the, about the expectations and the criticism. But like, even when people say something positive about it, it's like, well, that reaffirms that that's important to you, right? And like, if I didn't do that, but with the youth, actually, even though I speak a long time, and it is something that they're not used to, like sitting there for that long hearing one person, it is more kind of their style. It because it's more conversation, it's more casual. I mean, again, we meet basically outside. We meet kind of like in a Valvoline oil change, kind of where there's garage doors on both sides. So it's kind of outdoors. It's very it the feel is casual, and it's all for the intent of leading to small groups, right? So the content is all building towards, hey, you're gonna get together and talk with your friends about this, right? So it's not, I'm not, it's not a Sunday school. It's our Sunday school is different than that. Yeah, so it's within the context of being sensitive to the fact that they are not gonna sit there and listen to a 40-minute lecture about Hezekiah or something. But and it's also, I think it's also relational, right? It's because I've been at this church since 2018, and so everyone in youth group has only known me as their youth pastor, right? And so, and I may not be best friends with everyone in the youth group, but this kind of I've built this culture over a while. Not it's not like if I went somewhere new, I may not be able to do this, right?
Yeah, kind of shifting gears a little bit. What are some of the unique challenges to serving youth and parents in the Chinese Heritage Church? I know you've kind of been in Chinese Heritage churches, so I don't know if you can kind of take a step back and maybe look at it. But yeah, just thinking through unique challenges in serving youth and parents in this context.
Well, I think one of the for youth ministries, youth ministries in the United States, it really started in the 20th century, and the whole, Doug Fields and Kurt Johnson and stuff, and there's been different times of youth ministry in the United States where the different strategies and philosophies of it. But right now, youth ministries, I think, as a whole in the United States, are moving towards focusing more on intergenerational and parents, not being disconnected at church. And I think that's one of the, I think, kind of an inherent difficulty in the Chinese churches that we can't, or there's another layer that makes it difficult to do that, to have more intergenerational and parents involved, stuff like that. Because in essence, many immigrant Chinese choose to go to a Chinese church so that they, are not together with their kids, right? So then you're telling them, well, this is important to, I'm just like, well, it is that we can do that Monday to Saturday, but Sunday is my time to, kind of be with my peeps, right? So, yeah, so I think that's one of the major challenges of youth and parents is connecting them, or yeah, how do we connect them more? Can we connect them more if they are, the whole point of going there is that they want a different language. They want something in Chinese. They want a different cultural context. They want, I think another challenge that between for I think another challenge for parents and youth is that I think unlike some other like for example, I think well, I think that if unlike some cultures and some people groups, the distinctives between Eastern and Western culture then and is not always, I think a lot of youth and adults are not very clear on what those things are. Well, and they cannot really define it. They can't really explain it. They recognize it, they kind of live it out, but they don't actually know it, and they don't think about it, and then they don't realize how it impacts decisions they make. I think you see this the most in how people spend money in church. So decisions that are being made about money, or in how money is spent, I think oftentimes is very tied to certain Eastern versus Western values, or immigrant values versus more Americanized values, or whatever. And people on either side don't really recognize, hey, this is being affected by my cultural values. And people on both sides are using biblical things to argue why we should do certain things, right? And how we should spend money too, for the kingdom or for church. So yeah, those are a couple of things that come to mind.
As I listen to you talk about youth ministry and like your observations of trends and things, I'm reminded of just of like the many conversations I've had over the years serving youth ministry. But even then, like I've been, not serving it as a youth pastor for about 4 years now, and how much things have shifted significantly just in 4 years, like you said, accelerated by COVID. But I think even before that was, youth ministry shifts so quickly. And so I appreciate just that your longevity gives you the viewpoint of how do we navigate these things. And I hope our listeners are really able to glean some, good stuff from what you've been saying and sharing.
Yeah, I mean, I think one of the I think that missionary mindset and understanding the youth culture and study, I think that's probably the most significant thing for me and how I approach ministry. But I think it's also one of the things that as we move into a time where everyone is just in their own tribe and culturally and specific and in their own context, that's one of the things that I think if you're a millennial or older, you have to realize that this is kind of that's the way it is today. I mean, I give you an example. I have people ask me, actually pastors ask me all the time, older pastors tell me, but also parents will ask, like, what are the popular things in youth culture today? Or like what are the words that they use, or what's youth culture like today? And I think the correct way to think of it is there aren't any trends. There aren't any specific things that everyone, I mean, maybe like Taylor Swift, right, is the most common thing that every youth and every millennial has an association with. But besides Taylor, there's really nothing else, right? I mean, because everything is niche now. All that matters is the youth that you're relating to, the youth that you or you, the kids you have, or whatever. What is it that they are listening to? What is it? What are the words that they're using? What are the games and apps they're on? What are they trying to? What things are they trying to fulfill in themselves by looking online, right? Like what needs or what idols are, like all those kind of things. It all that matters is in your particular context, your youth group, your family, your group of friends, your small group, whatever, that's all that matters. And there's nobody that can tell you all the different thousands of different groups of youth and or adolescents in the United States and all the different things, because it's not like, I think when I grew up, it was like, I think there was this thing that we used to say in youth ministry. It's like, you reach the football players and cheerleaders and you've reached the school, because they were the influencers and they were the ones that were in charge and everyone flocked to them. It's no longer like that. There are 10 different groups in every school, maybe 50 different groups in every school that you need to reach specifically in their culture and their context for the gospel.
Yeah, no, that's such a good thought on youth ministry. And I think I remember, like, especially when you were using that kind of the mission analogy of like you have to kind of go in and continue to contextualize and rethink, like, this is the group that I'm bringing the gospel to or trying to speak life into, and that's going to shift and change. And I know that that's more than just a language thing, right? It's not just about learning the slang, but really, like, what makes this group tick? What are the things that really speak to their hearts? But then now you're saying that you have to do that, like, it's like you're serving in missions in like 17 countries, right? Or like 17 very, very different neighborhoods in one city or something like that. And I want to commend you and encourage you, Tim, on just that that cultural expertise, which I'm sure you would turn it around and say you're still learning every day. But I think having the space and like the heart to learn those things is what like that generation needs. And I feel like more of our Chinese heritage churches really need to understand that, especially our youth pastors need to understand that. But I think the whole church, from the lead pastor down through parents, elders, the rest of the staff need to understand that. So I appreciate that this, you know, that you've shared that on with us, because I, like for myself, I'm kind of challenged again to rethink my approach even to like our college ministry, because that's like, you know, just a step beyond teenagers. It's the you know, teenagers are kind of in the process of being uprooted, and then, you know, post young adult they're rerooting, but in the in between college young adulthood there's that transitional journey. And I feel like those same things apply. There's going to be people who are kind of running in different pockets or different groups, and you kind of have to relearn that. So I just really appreciate that insight. I feel like, Jalen, we need to get like a buzzer or a bell to like signal like, hey, this is something, write it down, come back to this for our listeners. It's important. At least I would put that in for just for myself to remember these things. But you know, Tim, I wanted to ask you about this idea. Actually, this was originally why we wanted to bring you on, but I realized we ended up talking about a lot of different other things. But months ago, probably like 6 months ago, I feel like you texted me kind of out of the blue. I just remember thinking like, you know, oh, this is such a, not a random text, but we had not talked probably for a month or two since we were in Houston. And then you texted me about this idea that you had, which was a youth, like a Chinese Heritage Church database for youth ministers, kind of a catalog of who's serving where and in what church. And I just thought that was such an interesting idea. And I wanted to ask, like, where did that come from? And kind of what was your hope behind the idea to have this database? You know, I know you're not tracking them like it's the Matrix or something, like, or you're trying to keep track of everyone. But I think that there is, knowing you, there is a ministry reason for these things that you're doing, that you don't do them for no reason. So I'm just curious if you want to share with us and with the listeners what that might be.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, it honestly, it started at just kind of a selfish thing. It's kind of like, I've served at four different Chinese churches since 2002. And so I have been looking for jobs four times, actually a total of five times, but so I've done this before. I've done this. And then I actually volunteer for, there's the YouVersion Bible app. I volunteer for the YouVersion Bible app as remotely. And one of the things I do for them is I validate the existence of churches like that are signing up to use the app. So I go to their websites and I make sure, you know, they're, you know, Christian churches and they actually exist and they're on the map and stuff like that. So yeah, between those two kind of experiences, I was like, hey, you know, I could just do this. Like I could just make this directory of my own things. And so I just kind of started out making a list. There were a couple websites where people had done this in the past, but most of them were 10, 15 years old. A lot of the links didn't work and things like that. Oh, I also did web development for a bit of time too. So I'm familiar with that kind of stuff. And so I just started doing it, I think like on Google Docs. And I was like, well, you know what? Maybe I just create like something that is more easier for people to look at and just share with other people. Why not? I think as far as hopes, like, you know, this is not something I'm not trying to make this into something that, I don't know, I would sell or something, you know, it's just a resource online. It's just, I think what I would hope though, is that it would help to have a place where people could look at potential openings and also connect with people who are in ministry. I would think that if you're in a Chinese church and you're a youth pastor, you probably know other people that are locally around you. You wouldn't need a director like this, but at least for, For those people that might be like me, burdened for the Chinese church and for youth ministry, it might be a place where it just makes it a little easier for you to look for a job. Like right now, I think the latest I looked at it, I look at it every week. I just schedule it every Tuesday. I look at it. I spend 10, 15 minutes updating a few churches. So yeah, so like it'll be months between each time I look at each church. But it does help a little bit, I hope, if somebody is looking for a youth pastor position in Chinese church. I mean, maybe it'll help people be more connected. I probably, probably about once a month, somebody will text me and they'll say, our church is looking, or I know someone who is looking. Right. And so this kind of a place that, hey, y'all, just go here and, this is where what I've got.
Super helpful. So if churches or if prospective youth pastors want to tap into this or get their information into this directory, how would they contact you?
I never really thought about that. It's just been kind of word of mouth,
Okay.
you probably, I guess if you're listening to this, you probably know someone that knows me, right?
Yeah.
So,
They can message us and
yeah.
we'll send you their email or something.
Sure.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
Sure. Cool.
Is that something that we can see, or is it, I don't know if you have you been sending that out to people?
It is on my personal website, but my personal website is not, I don't know. I don't even know if you Google me, you'd find it. If you go to my LinkedIn, I think there's a link from there.
Okay.
So,
Well, either way, if you want to contact him, you can message us and we'll get you connected
for sure.
somehow. Yeah. Cool. No, I remember you messaged, and then I think I had like seen people I knew in there. And I was just thinking, not just for if you're looking for a job, but like, when I was a youth pastor, I was constantly thinking about when my students graduated and go all over the country for college, it's always good to know who's nearby that I can connect them with. Like, even if they never end up stepping foot in a friend's church, like at least I feel like I know someone who's in that area that I know or I trust, and that's a starting point for them as they're kind of like navigating their faith journey in the next season post youth ministry and post youth group, and so I feel like the networking connect the relational side of what that could do is actually quite valuable. So we appreciate you putting it together, even if it started as kind of a personal project. But yeah, that's awesome. As we wrap up our time together, we love to ask this same question for everyone. But what is just one piece of advice or encouragement that you would give to someone who's currently serving in the Chinese Heritage Church, be beyond all the things you've already been encouraging us with and sharing with us tonight? Is there just one word that you would want to speak to them?
Yeah, I mean, I would say probably the most important thing is to be connected with other people in fellowship, especially with other people in ministry. And I would recommend being connected with people kind of like I don't know if you're in a multi-layer or multifaceted way or just in many different ways. I think, those of us that are in Chinese churches are not, then understand that pastoral ministry can be very lonely, it can be very isolated, it can be, relationships. And some pastors find really good friends and really good mentors and really good connections with other people. But I think for a lot of us, it's hard to find that one or two or three. And so what I've done and what I always recommend for other people do is don't just look for a few, look for like 10, look for 15, 20, make a lot of connections with people. And they may initially be very superficial and you may not feel like you connect with them very well, but I think you can connect with different people in different ways, right? And so there could be some from Chinese churches, there could be some in local non-Chinese churches in your area. There could be some that you know from other stages of your life. There could be even I have some friends here, Young Life and Campus Crusade crew, that are parachurch workers, and that yeah, and it, so it can. I think when you have a you spend the time to be invested into that networking and fellowship and community, you are going to increase the chance that in challenging times, or when you need advice, or when you want to bounce off ideas, you're going to have people to be talking to and to be connected with. So I probably have, I would say that type of person that I'm connected to, I would say I have at least 50 people that I text. I mean, including you, John. I would count you in that. Like, we may not know each other really well, but we're connected at some point. And Jalen, once I get your number, you're going to be on there too, right? But I mean, it just, I think in your span of your life, right? I mean, it having more connections like that, I think becomes really important. I think that that's we live in a time where it's just we're all so connected, but we're not really connected. And I just think we all need to focus more on that, invest more in that.
Yeah, it's incredibly valuable. I appreciate that thought. And Tim, we've really appreciated your insight and your approach to ministry. Thanks for sharing your wisdom and thanks for sharing your time with us. We really appreciate that you spent some time with us on the Bamboo Pastors podcast.
Thanks for having me.
That's the end of our episode. Thanks for joining us today on the Bamboo Pastors podcast. Make sure to subscribe to the pod on whatever platform you listen to us on. Rate and review us, and check in every week as we explore the joys and challenges of ministry in the Chinese church. You can find us on Twitter and Instagram at Bamboo Pastors. See you next time.